Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the building, the city of Sports City, man. It's the cookout. We back underway. Had to stretch my lungs a little bit. Had to talk to my co-host. Got to get back up in here. A lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of days that have been missed. Got a call. I got a call before I walk, but we're going to get back into stuff, especially before things take off tomorrow for the Thursday night football matchup. I dislike to start the show up like this talking about injuries, but boy, is it critical across the board in the NFL. We got a lot to jump into. I'm not just going to feed you everything. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the cookout. What about
I'll be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence connect to a high power. Y'all commit me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the fun was, but these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, just to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Sports City, we are back in the building. Like I said, this grill is lit. It's the Callers Cookout, Sports City Cookout Edition. So if you call in, it's all about you. Whatever topic you got on your mind you want to get off your chest, we will throw it on the grill, cook this thing up, and put out the plates like we need to. Now, before I get into introducing anybody and start talking what we normally do, to say this for City, because this is what has been holding me outside of the kitchen. I'm not going to lie, and that is the situation in America today with gun violence, right? Now, I'm not going to get into every occurrence that's been happening across the board throughout the country. I'm not even going to talk about what's happening personally to people that are within my life, but I'm going to say it like this. Salute to the entire Indiana Fever team. That's right. I know we don't talk WNBA in here, even though me personally, I love basketball, you know, regardless if it's male or female. I still got some female basketball players that I can think of that I look forward to when I was younger and up until this point. But like I said, salute to the entire Indiana Fever team. The entire team this afternoon had a basketball game, and they all kneeled during the Star Spangled Banner. Now, I know everybody feels a certain way about Colin Kaepernick and the awareness that he's throwing out about police brutality, where everybody's getting mixed up with either race issues or, you know, so on and so forth, where he literally was talking about police brutality and how things are being, you know, focused on toward African-Americans, when it's happening all across the board. That's why when I announce it and say anything about the police brutality situation, it's just initially police brutality, but a lot of people like to try and carry it to race issues. This is why I'm saluting the entire Indiana Fever. It ain't just an all-black girls team. It's everybody. And their coach even saluted them and saying, I'm proud of every last one of you for doing it, because the coach didn't know that the girls were going to go out, or let me say women, let me not call them girls, they're women, that the women would go out there and do that. And they're doing that to the issues that are going on across the country. Like I said, this has riddled my life throughout the summer. That's why I don't like the summer. Of course, I'm not a fan of the heat. I don't like the sun. But summertime, a lot of my crew, people that I hang out with, grew up with, they outside. The gun violence happened. So this is what's happening, whether it's, you know, civilian on civilian, whether it's cop on civilian, so on and so forth. Your gun violence stuff has to end. And it, Colin Kaepernick, if people don't like what you're doing or what you're saying, guess what? The whole world heard it. The whole world heard it. So if he's acting or not, he put out $1 million. I don't care what nobody say. You ain't see an athlete donate $1 million in a while. Maybe Michael Jordan. Had to start there. Had to get right in the kitchen, man. I'm back, man. Like I said, the caller number 917-889-9592. I got my co-host in the building with me, calling out of the Virginia region, out of the United States of America, my brother, my co-host, Tommy B. Welcome to the cookout. How are we feeling this evening?
I'm good, my brother. I don't know, to bounce off of what you said, Tom, I don't know if you've seen the story. There was a high school team, down here in the VA, that kneeled during the national anthem. It wasn't one, it wasn't two, it was the whole team.
Wow.
And there was a white soccer, U.S. Olympian, on the U.S. women's team that kneeled. I cannot remember her name. I know her. If I see her, I could say, hey, it was her. She kneeled during a game.
Megan Rapinoe, and the crazy thing about her is they are making sure that they do the national anthem before they come out or before she's able to come out. They're trying to make sure that she doesn't kneel, during the national anthem because she is representing Team USA. So I get why they're doing it to that capacity, but just to see people, you know, across the board having awareness, like people don't want to give them credit, Colin Kaepernick. If it wasn't for you, these people would not know what's going on. Or they know what's going on. I'm saying it wrong. I apologize for saying it wrong, but they wouldn't have the awareness of what's going on today. So, Colin Kaepernick, I tip my hat, because across the board, people are paying attention to what you did, and it has to stop. They've already had another situation, or another two, that happened in the past 2 days. Wow. I won't even dive into that. Like I said, I had to start off with a sports topic. The Indiana Fever team is playing right now, and they're making sure that they jump into that. So, Tommy, I have a ton of dishes to jump into. It is the cookout. So, callers, y'all already know, if you're calling, the topic is on you. Don't base it all off of me. I do have a lot because, of course, I have not been here quite so well. I'm going to be French. We have not been here in a while, so I do have a lot of topics that I want to get off my chest. There was one topic that we wanted to talk about, scheduling. I don't really have that because I do have a lot, but we can get to it. It's the cookout, so it's wide open. Tommy, where would you like to start, or I could start cooking?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I guess we can go ahead and I'll just make a service announcement. Please stop with all this talk about the Heisman already in September, because no one's won the Heisman in September. Now, what Lamar Jackson at Louisville's doing is remarkable. Remarkable what he is doing. Now, I'm going to keep that, what he did to a certain team up north alone, because in 3 weeks my boys play them. So I'm not letting karma beat me, but I'm keeping that on a hush till until after the 8th of October. But bet your ass, after that week, I'm going to be talking, because karma seems to hang around me and Ty a lot when we talk. But stop with this, stop with the Heisman talk already. Yes, he probably should be up there, but I'm going to tell you somebody else that should be up there is Mark Walton. If you've got McCaffrey, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. If McCaffrey's up there, Mark Walton should be up there then already. But since Mark Walton plays at Miami and everything, nobody's mentioned his name. Dude's rushed for over 400 yards in 3 days. In three games. Sorry. In three games. McCaffrey's only rushed for 200 some yards. So if McCaffrey's up there, Mark Walton should be up there.
This is like real beautiful to me because, like, I was sitting here in this kitchen and also in personal conversations with this man himself via Tommy B. And he knows we go back and forth about, you know, Mark or Joseph. Now, and look, and I want Joe to listen because Tommy, and this is my funny bone to pick with Tommy, because Tommy is tight with the entire Kane squad. So I put the post up that Coach Rick said he's impressed with Mark Walton and what he's been able to do out the gate. And I don't want to get too pumped about what's going on right now. With when he came out the game, because the first two games were against teams that Miami should be able to take care of business with, but you got to, you know, play everybody to according to the schedule or whatever. And that game again, and I still don't really want to equate what they did to Appalachian State as a big game, even though Appalachian State has been one of those teams that upset a lot of teams across the board. But, you know, they had a three-and-out situation. I think they might have got – no, they had a three-and-out. And they punted. Miami got a touchback. First play from scrimmage. Mark Walton, 80 yards up the middle. And broke three tackles up the middle and was gone. I'm like – and as soon as it happened, I'm looking for Tommy number. I'm like, I got to call him. I call Tommy. I'm like trying to get him, Tommy. Like, man, I don't want to hear that. So I text him. I'm like, I just want you to know this. First play was scrimmage, 80 yards, and the boy is gone. But look, this time he did open up with Jackson, the quarterback out of Louisville. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, Tommy, I understand. Whoa. And I'm by no means a Louisville fan. Let me just say this. I'm going to tell you about me. Now, people may favor the pocket quarterback, and I'm not going to lie, I'd admit, like, and I threw it out there, I admit right now, Tom Brady's the best quarterback ever, right? Because I respect the pocket quarterback. But me, personally, I love the quarterback that can scramble. If he's in trouble and the pocket collapse, fine, let's go. Let's see what we can pick up. If we can pick up 6-10 or better, I love that type of football. Make the defense, you know, hit their pass like, oh, man, he out. I love that type of football. I don't care if it's my favorite quarterback all time. I'm going to tell you, Randall Cunningham. I love Randall when Randall used to do that. You know, you think of Michael Vick, you think of Ben Roethlisberger, you think of Russell Wilson. I think all these quarterbacks that can take off. The way that this kid, Lamar Jackson, was taking off, oh, my goodness. Listen, there was people putting up status and saying, listen, Louisville scored again. Like, and it was Sunday. Like, they were scoring out, and mom is caught on the number two ranked team in the nation.
We got breaking news. Breaking news. Louisville just scored again.
I was cracking up so hard when I was seeing people put the memes and the status up. One person put up one that said, you know, when you playing like PlayStation 4 online, and if you beating a dude up too bad, they quit before the game. They said Florida State has just left the game. I was cracking up. But this is the number. I've never seen a number two team get beat like this. They were actually putting a number out the last time Florida State lost that bad, the last time a number two lost that bad. Like, man, I'm telling you, Florida State, man, that kid Lamar Jackson is special. I'm not going to say something special. He is special. He better be in the finalist unless it slows down. Unless the team figures out to corral him, keep a spy on him, and shut him down, he better be one of the finalists. He better be. And I'm not actually trying to point out who should be what, but right now, the way he took care of business up against Florida State, I actually thought Florida State was going to beat the crap out of Louisville. I thought they would.
I picked that. Earlier in the show when we did, maybe it was the cookout or what, it might have not been. just been a regular show. If you remember, I should have had the Ole Miss game right because them sorry son bitches learned to play four quarters in a game.
Right.
They'd have beat Florida State. But no, they only show up for a half and forgot about the second half.
Oh, Ole Miss, that's a whole other situation. But let's get the caller line is lighting up already. I got the state of Virginia rocking, calling in by way of the DMV. We have Aaron Sirius Simmons in the building. Welcome to the Cooker. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, it's a privilege to be back in the building with everybody, man. I'm going to go ahead and pick up all of you guys left off. I don't know if you got anybody behind me. You know, Lamar Jackson is that dude. Christian McCaffrey is that dude. But the one cat who, you know, I didn't hear Tommy allude to it, I didn't hear you allude to it, you know, that's really impressing me, and it pains me to say that. Now, I'm going to let them know now. I'm literally about to throw up my dinner for saying this, but JT Barrett is really putting on a show right now. You know, the quarterback for Ohio State. I mean, Heisman poll, if you will. But, you know, also quarterback for Houston. They're wrong right now. I mean, right now we're on week number, going into week four. For college football. So again, I'm gonna go ahead and reserve judgment. But again, with the question being posed to to the panel, again, Lamar Jackson, obviously he's a front runner. But again, don't doubt Clay Watson, who was in the mix last year. McCaffrey's in the mix last year. And again, J.T. Barrett. I mean, all Ohio State does is win college. They're horrible professionals, but. McCall is where they at. Unless your name is
Shady,
and that man's a monster.
Tommy, how about you? Is there anybody else that we're missing that you may want to throw in there?
Guy on the West Coast. He won't get play because they play because they're one. He's the school's in the West Coast. The running back for I believe he's the running back for San Diego State. Dude's putting up monster numbers. I can look his name up real quick. I believe it's him. It's him or the quarterback for San Diego State. But they play in that mountain, was it? The Mountain West, I believe. Nobody really watches them. But the dude's putting up some numbers. But like Herb Street said.
You're talking about Donald Pompey or something like that?
It's something like that. Something like Herb Street said, it's San Diego State, and then they play on the West Coast, and he's not going to get no play.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
I
just looked it up.
Dude's a beast.
Okay, and before we go any further, right, and we're already talking about some of the names, for this year and also some of them that played last year, do you think Watson will pick it up? After, even though they played South Carolina State, where I'm not giving them too much, they shut him out, and the dude threw the ball. He tried to give the referee the ball, and he gave up a touchdown. That was one of the more boneheaded plays I've ever seen in college football. But, with that being said, in 2 weeks, right, I got to set this up because, like I said, I love scrambling quarterbacks. I have to say this is my style of football, even though I respect all breeds and brands of football. So on and so forth. Louisville plays Clemson. Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's the bam. I don't know. I think we need to wait 2 weeks before it goes down. But order another round. It's about to go down. Listen, that game right there.
That's next week, isn't it?
No, 2 weeks. Well, next week. If we're including this week, then next week.
That's
so you're
first.
Right. So, right. The first of the month. So,
8:00. And I'm telling you now, I'll say it right now. With what I've seen, Louisville wins that football game. I'm not impressed with Clemson. They don't look the same. They luck up. They slipped by their first two games with Auburn, and they slipped by Troy. And then they turn around and they blow out Saint, or whoever they play, that high school team in Saint, I guess they play the high school team, I guess.
South Carolina State.
They have not shown me nothing yet. They do not look like the team. I think Louisville wins that football game.
Okay. Well, the calling queue is filling up. They must be smelling what's going on around the building. I do have Mr. Silver back in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Freaking tired, man, but I'm feeling good. Glad to be back. Glad to hear all your great voices.
If you sick and tired, get some DayQuil, man.
No, I'm not sick. I'm just tired. I'm working like a dog, man, but we all right out here. The college football scene to me is something that's crazy. I mean, the laundry list of names that we could roll out for September Heisman winners is ridiculous. I mean, we could sit here and run off probably 20, 25, 30 names since 2000 of guys' names that we were running off in September and the beginning of October that were runaway Heisman winners that didn't even get an invite to New York. So this whole who should be the Heisman right now, to me, is a moot point. Obviously, there are multiple names throwing their hat early, or throwing their names in the hat early, trying to get, you know, the committee or the Heisman alums attention right now. But right now, just to say that this guy's running away or this guy could be the eventual, you know, it's way too early for me. I have a big feeling that Christian McCaffrey will have a lot to do with what he did last year, even though I know it's a year-by-year basis. They will bring up last year and what he did and how he was snubbed from last year and use that. So if he has any kind of semblance of what he did last year, 75 to 80% of the numbers he did last year, he might be the front runner and run away with it just because of what happened. But again, a lot of these teams right now in the beginning of the year, they have their soft schedule. They have a lot of their gimme games. They're playing, you know, teams like the Jacksonville's, like the Charlotte's, like the Appalachian State, like those gimme games that they're picking out for the beginning of the year, the Jacksonville States and things like that. Those games are right now. We get into the thick of things come the end of October, November, December. So a lot of this right now is it's a little too early for me. But if we're gonna hold the gun to the head and make me pick right now who I can see just dominating the rest of the year and taking away with it, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. That's just because what he's doing, in my opinion, is a little different than when we see other players do amazing things. A lot of his touchdowns are within the realm of the play. They're not broken plays. They're not him rolling out and making something happen. They're in the scheme of the play that he just takes it for a touchdown. So to me, this is something that with Lamar, it's going to continue. It's going to continue all year long, and they're going to be able to do what they've been doing against top-notch teams. When it comes to Clemson, I hear you, Tommy, and I hear how poor they, you know, have been playing or not, you know, dominating teams like they used to. Similar to the NFL, the NCAA figures out things. You're not going to go 1 to 2 to 3 years blowing people out every single game like they were last year. I think a lot of the teams have figured out what they're made of, what's coming at them. You know, this team has got the same quarterback and a lot of the same core in Clemson. And, you know, a couple big names from the defense, but offensively they're pretty much the same. So you get an understanding of what this offense can do, and I can understand why they've slowed down or had teams give them some problems. Again, they're still undefeated and they're winning. So right now, I think this Louisville Clemson game is going to be the make or break for Lamar's season. I think if he goes in there, he does what he's been doing, he'll run away with it till the end of the year. But again, there's a lot of names out there. We didn't even mention Leonard Fournette. We didn't even bring up guys say it again.
No, not Fournette. No, he's letting defense shut him down, man. Not Fournette, man. And I feel
he's got 153 yards and 147 yards, and there's one game where he didn't even play because they were dominating the whole game because they played a lower-end team that they blew out. So I don't know how he's being shut down. He's got over 100 yards in the game. He got substantial carries in.
That's
the thing I was going to say there. The quarterback play for LSU is pathetic. Let's keep that 100. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, he's been getting shut down, but, I mean, it's very simple to shut a dude down when you're stacking 20 in a box. You know what I'm saying?
That quarterback they got now, that Harris is this bitch. And he brought this, I don't know if he's a redshirt freshman or a true freshman, or he may be a redshirt sophomore. But the dude can throw the football now.
Hold on, sit tight, because we do have an SEC guy here in the building. We have Matt in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey,
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
I know. Wait. I know this, right? Now, I got in trouble, like, about a month and a half ago, right? Because Aaron Sirius Simmons came on air and said, I come on air and I hear y'all talking about the Cleveland Browns. And now you have, like, the biggest dish. I didn't even know if you were going to call in, but my dish is Cleveland Browns, but I won't get there yet. I want to talk about what we see, what they're discussing right now with Fournette and the SEC. Do you agree that Fournette's name is in the hat at least for the first 3 weeks of the season, or do you think that we have more to see to come from LSU?
I think he's got a lot of work to do. Wisconsin pretty much dominated him. He needs a few bounce-back games before we can mention Fournette. I think the front runners are, like y'all mentioned, the Jackson kid from Louisville, and I still think Christian McCaffrey will be a threat at any time.
Okay.
If LSU didn't have Harris at quarterback, I think LSU wins that football game.
I haven't seen the new guy that you're talking about. I saw that they had a dogfight with Mississippi State. They struggled with whoever they beat the second week, and then they looked absolutely horrific against Wisconsin.
But Harris has been benched. They pulled his ass
yeah,
after.
Yeah, he was bad. I agree with you.
Harris is horrible. I had no clue.
Yeah, he was bad.
What anybody saw him in high school, unless he played a bunch of cupcakes in high school.
Well, it's the same thing with look at Auburn right now. My team, I'll call them out. We have a complete bum at quarterback. We have a guy who was featured on Netflix documentary, John Franklin. You might as well throw him in there because the other guy stinks.
I like White. I just don't like Malzahn when he some of the play calls that he does. It confuses the hell out of me what the hell he does sometimes.
I agree with you, Tommy. I agree.
I'm like, wait a minute, why are you going for the Clemson game? I'll bring it up. I do not understand if you have a defense like Auburn and you turn around, you are shutting down that offense. You take the 3 points every time, they win that football game by one.
Yep, they should have won. You're absolutely right. I don't know what Gus
you
is doing.
For,
on the
he goes
sure.
for it and then – he's sitting there running in Johnson, Jeremy Johnson, that I was doing, once again, dude's horrible.
Yeah, he stinks.
Franklin is a transfer from Florida State that went to a small school,
Eastern Mississippi College. Yep.
Yeah. And then transferred in because he left Florida State because of Winston. He wouldn't have seen that playing time, so he left. I'd work on Franklin. I seriously would work on him, put him in that offense, and run what goes with him. The
Sometimes
only thing about
takes...
Franklin is his throwing. He doesn't know the
well,
offense.
Yeah, his throwing's an issue, but the thing is, I don't know what you see in White. I watched the Texas A&M game. He couldn't do anything that was impressive to me. That's why you give Franklin a chance, but it's all about sometimes it's about having balls, and I don't think Gus has any of them. And I also agree with you on the play calling. He has me wondering, you know, what the hell he's thinking about half of his play calls. I have no idea what he's doing.
And he gets down in the red zone, and he changes everything instead of going with what was working to get you down there in the red zone in the first place.
There's a lot of Auburn alum that are all over him, so he's definitely on the hot seat.
I'd look for him to be fired. I'd look for him to be fired right after they lose to Alabama. Give it a week after, he'll be fired.
I hope it's before. Don't leave him there.
It could be after this week at LSU.
Well, hold on. I want to get there. Hold on. I'm glad everybody came back when they fired, or everybody came back to the kitchen when they stopped there. Okay. Now, the last show we had, Tommy said Les Miles will lose his job this season. Does anybody disagree or agree? Let me say agree. Did anybody agree that Les Miles will lose the job in LSU, especially with Fournette running the ball?
Didn't they just get rid of the OC, the offensive coordinator?
No. He's still there.
No. He's still there. Okay. I don't see Les Miles losing his job. He should have lost his job multiple times over the years with some of the things he's done with this football team on the field. Losing big games, not showing up against certain teams in the biggest moments yearly. So there are multiple times this team could have cut bait and released him over the past couple years, and they haven't. I think that's a sentiment to how much they love this guy and they want him to coach their team. So to me, I don't see it happening at all. I mean, obviously there's exponential circumstances. You get blown out for the next 9 weeks and you don't see a single touchdown and things like that, obviously. But they'll be able to win games and they'll be able to stick around. They'll lose the big ones like normal and he'll still be there.
So check this out. So I just pulled up LSU's schedule. Okay, they got Auburn, Missouri, Florida, Southern Miss, Old Miss, Alabama, Arkansas, South Alabama, and Texas A&M. So, realistically speaking, with LSU sitting at 2-1 right now, case could be made they may win 3, maybe 4 more of those games. Yo, Les Miles is gone, dog. I mean, let's keep it 100. The standard is the standard in the SEC, and the standard has always been pretty high for LSU Tigers. You know, I mean, let's say they beat Auburn this week. They're going to lose to Missouri. They're going to lose to Florida. They may be Southern Miss. They're losing the next three. Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas. They may beat South Alabama, and Texas A&M is no wash.
Whoa, exactly. Missouri needs more people. I do not believe them. So you listen. You're telling me that LSU will only win 4 more. They're only a 6-win team this season.
Looking at the schedule right now, I don't see where wins are coming from. I don't see where wins are coming from. Okay, you lose the Wisconsin week one. Week two, you beat Jacksonville, Popcorn, U State.
We don't count that.
Versus Mississippi State, okay? You barely get by Mississippi State with the win there. You got Auburn, who's always played them tough. Let's keep it 100.
Yes,
Missouri.
Sir.
Missouri, who, okay, y'all say they may get a win there. Okay, they may get a win there. You see them beating Florida? No, sir. You see them beating
Florida has injuries.
They're not going to beat Florida.
Florida has injuries.
They're not going to beat Florida.
Okay.
They're not beating Florida.
Where's that
going
to play that?
That game is
at Florida or is it at Baton Rouge?
That game is at the Swamp.
It's a game.
That's in Florida.
That's a toss-up.
But
Florida's defense, their offense is suspect. I mean, here's a Florida team that struggled against UMass.
Right.
Hold on.
Charlie just complaining about how Auburn is playing out the gate, and you're already giving Auburn the leg up. They could beat Auburn. Auburn's already one that you can count on. And the way that Alabama's come out the gate, Alabama can be beat.
That game is at Auburn, by the way. I don't give a damn if they was in the Pentagon.
Listen, the Red Eagle, they need help. They need help.
Alabama goes undefeated. The only reason why I side
with seeing Les Miles on is you can't continue to keep coaching a team and not have them fully ready to be a part of the passing game and having legit receivers go out there. You mean to tell me that you had Landry and Odell Beckham come out of there and didn't really have that passing game nailed down? Like, that should be a continual piece of that offense, especially to open up the doors for the running backs that are coming out of there. You had to have special talent. Hold on, hold on. You had to have special talent after special talent, and these guys had to get their name on the map just because of how special they were. It's not even like passing is a part of their, you know, their system. And that's the only way I can see Les Miles being let go. But that guy still continues to put a great defense out there, and he's been able to have running back by committee ever since he's been in the SEC. Still.
I'll throw a coach out there that when it happens, when he starts losing, I'm going to throw a name out there that his name's going to come up for this coaching job because it's already done it last year. He's coaching that team up north that's just giving up another touchdown. Touchdown Louisville.
I don't think Jimbo will leave Florida State. No, I think
Jimbo ain't going nowhere, homie. But back to the point that Tom was mentioning before we keep it moving. Here's the thing that we need to understand, gentlemen. How many times, especially when it comes to quarterback, you know, production, do we hear, you know, the wide receiver, you know, makes the quarterback look better than he is, or the quarterback makes the wide receiver look better than he is? You're talking about Odell Beckham Jr., who arguably is a top five receiver, you know, in college, and arguably a top five receiver in the National Football League at this moment. You're talking about Landry, who came out as being one of the best wide receivers, you know, in LSU next to Odell Beckham Jr. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to throw ducks, if you will, and have freaks of nature receivers make the quarterback look better than he actually is. Now, let's fast forward to what we're dealing with right now. You have a quarterback who can't hit the broadside of a barn. You have an all-pro running back. I think we can all agree that Fournette is an all-pro running back, but they're stacking the box and daring the quarterback to beat you. Okay, and the quarterback, as of late, has not been able to do that. And Harris was not able to do that. So you can't really say that, you know, you have a pedigree of, you know, this person coming through and him, you know, making, you know, the NFL, making LSU this, that, and the third. You have to coach with what's there. And right now what's there is you have a running back. That's it. You don't have burner receivers to bail your quarterback out. You don't have, you know, a quarterback that can sit back, read a defense, decipher what type of covers they're in, and make the proper read. No, you have a quarterback who's skipping passes and running around trying to chuck and play and hoping that it lands in a team in the hands of a team member with the same jersey on. That's the LSU offense. Turn around, put the ball in seven's gut, or chuck and play. That's what the LSU offense has done.
Look, I understand that, but serious. Every skill position, being quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, they are all defensive one players. They are all supposed to be able to do this. If they cannot fit the bill, then you get the next man up. There is no valid excuse that they cannot make the pass, they cannot find the quarterback that can fit the bill or make these plays to open the game up a little for that. You mean to tell me, and I'm not really sitting here trying to throw this at you, I'm just throwing this out there just like, you know, fishing hooks and just trying to fish. You mean to tell me that you, being Les Miles, want to be responsible for the end of Leonard Fournette's career? Because you're going to run into a situation where they're going to keep putting eight in the box and they might take his legs out or do some damage to him or jump on top of a pile. That situation can happen. I'm actually pro Les Miles. I'm not even like con. Like, I'm actually pushing for him, but it has to happen. Especially, hold on, and this might be the nail in the coffin for him, especially if he can't figure it out against Alabama. Because Alabama enforces the line of scrimmage. If he doesn't get a passing game in that game and loses to Nick Saban again for how many years in a row, including a championship game also? Like, listen, I don't know. I don't know.
You just proved my point, though. You just proved my point.
I know. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying I'm actually pro. I don't think Les Miles will lose his job, though. I don't think he'll lose his job, but these are the things that I think that will consider him losing the job. Like if he doesn't get this visit out against Alabama, especially where Alabama is struggling out of the gate. They struggled at least two of the games out of the gate already. I'm not buying it. They got to do some type of screenplay, something that's working that fast, and you cannot just continue to think that you're going to win a football game in the SEC where a lot of these teams do play defense. They do play defense. So that's the only way. But I, like I said, it sounds funny that I am being pro-left, but there is, you know, a situation, there's people that are, you know, con left to think that he's gone. So that's interesting.
I think the scary thing, guys, is that Les Miles is in control there, and if he wants to run that program into the ground for what they tried to do to him last year, he can. And there's nothing that anybody in LSU can do about it unless they do fire him. So I think he literally has LSU's alum and fans by the balls this year. And if they keep complaining about him too much, he can, you know, he can make it look like, oh yeah, you know, he just starts farting around and they lose to someone they shouldn't lose to. Exactly what Siri said.
I'm keeping a close eye to this, that is for sure. I will be watching this closely. Now, I know that you guys brought some meat and potatoes for this kitchen. And my first dish, at least I want to get out there because it's interesting, is, and I didn't know Matt was going to call, but the Cleveland Browns, and the interesting thing about the Cleveland Browns situation is the injury bug. Like, what the hell is going on in Cleveland? Now, I don't want to talk about, you know, how many starting quarterbacks, because I think it's over 24, 25 different starting quarterbacks they had. That's not funny. I think that's a real number. That is not funny. Those dudes had over 25 starting quarterbacks since Tim Couch, and I still remember Tim Couch. That's when I graduated high school, and he came out with a stud out of Kentucky and did nothing. But RG3 is out for 10 to 12 weeks. This is how bad his situation is. Josh McCown is out. They are going with Kessler at the quarterback position. They just brought in Charlie Whitehurst just in case something happens with Kessler. Already today at practice, Corey Coleman, the standout wide receiver from Baylor, breaks his hand. How long he's out, they have no timetable for him. They are probably already begging for Gordon to get through that door to help them in the receiver department. All
did you hear about Gordon?
I heard about Gordon.
How he missed a contract and he has won it for a ref.
No, I think you got the wrong story. His issue is more paternity tests.
His
issue is paternity, because when that news hit my news feed today, I did some digging on it, because I mean I was gonna post on it. I didn't know I was gonna be on the show this evening, but he is wanted for a paternity test. The Cleveland Browns have been made aware of the situation. The NFL already came out and said this does not disqualify him from being reinstated after week four. So unless some new thing happened in the last hour and a half, 2 hours, Josh Gordon is still slated to come back and return after week four.
Okay. So that's additional news to what I was throwing out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually saying that they're, you know, begging for Gordon to get in there to help out. But just from the situation alone, they're already 0-2 in their division. They are at their third-string quarterback trying to make it happen. And interesting enough, I have a Cleveland Browns fan and a Baltimore Ravens fan on the air at the same time. Sunday afternoon, Tommy hit me up. He was like, Ty, there was something funny about this game. I kind of could feel the Browns are going to win this game. And the Ravens pulled it out. I didn't even hit Tommy up, but they pulled it out. I was like, it's absurd how the situation is just unfolding.
Yeah, Cleveland remember they were the Browns.
Where do you blow a 22 lead at home?
He spotted him bomb 20 points in the first quarter and said, you know what, it's time to play like a Raven.
Okay. Hold on, Matt. I know you are the resident Cleveland Brown fan. I'm going to let you go first because I know these dudes are going to start picking at you. So I'll let you light this fire up as best as you possibly can. Your thoughts on your organization, especially with the injury bug going around, and I'm kind of pissed because I'm a diehard Duke Johnson fan, I want to see Duke pan out, and he hasn't even been able to get started, really, with this organization.
I can't believe they blew the 20-2 lead. If Josh didn't get hurt, I think they would have won the game for sure, 100%. No doubt about it. It's just they always find a way to mess it up. I don't know about this new guy you're talking about. I just know we need Josh Gordon. We need him immediately, and we need to somehow come up with a win somewhere. But it was so frustrating because it was like
– Which guy? You don't know about Kessler or Whitehurst?
I've heard of Whitehurst, but I don't know about Kessler. I don't know anything about him. Can he throw
he's
the ball on the
field?
USC. Another USC bum.
He's from USC, yeah.
And like you, Ty, I agree with you. I agree with you that they need to mix in people like Duke Johnson. Now, Isaiah Crowell, I'm impressed with him. And he's running it down the field how he's supposed to. Now, you know what changed that game, believe it or not? When it was 20-0 Browns, they line up for an extra point, and it's blocked, and the Ravens run it back the other way. It goes from 21-0 to 20-2, which you wouldn't think it was that big of a deal, but next thing you know, the Ravens score the next 23 points and shut the Browns out. Very, very frustrating loss for Cleveland.
How do they turn this around? And this is critical because I remember when we were talking about the Browns, Sirius was one of the people that said that he doesn't see you guys getting more than, what, 2 wins this season. So the way that you guys are looking out of the gate, that's debatable. This is debatable.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, and you can hear it right here. And by the way, Ty, I wanted you to remind everybody, as crazy as I am, did I call Alabama to win the national title last year?
He did. Yes,
and I said it from early on in the year.
What a limb you're on.
And everybody thought I was crazy. Anyway, my bold prediction, everybody put your pipe down. Cleveland beats Miami on Sunday. You heard it first here.
Everybody's beating Miami. That's not a big deal. Another limb you're on.
Miami on Sunday.
All right, real quick.
Well,
right.
Upset
the,
City
the
right there.
Of, the number of Cleveland quarterbacks is astronomical. I do believe it is 26. Cleveland is really nothing. I don't understand why we're talking about it. I know it's probably to get into the crawl of Matt, but they've got nothing at quarterback. They've got nothing on defense. They've got nothing at offense. They're pretty much a nothing team. Sirius was being very generous with the 2 wins. I see that it's a mute point. The Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. The only problem I have with the whole situation is how the hell, if you're a real NFL team, do you go down 20-0 to the Cleveland Browns? That's beyond me. Other than that, I don't know what the Cleveland Browns are thinking. You've got a guy in Robert Griffin III who you know is injury prone, who you know is going to get hurt. And you keep Josh McCown, and you don't go get anyone else. When you've got people that are out there, I know we talk crap about the guys that are on the waiver wire for quarterbacks, but anything on the waiver wire is substantially better than what they have on the roster right now. So, to me, the ill-preparedness to realize the quarterback you have and how he is going to get hurt and miss games, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be a whole year or more than 9 games, but we all thought he was going to miss some time. How you're not prepared at that position. Again, the Corey Coleman situation, that's a sad situation. That's a guy who I think could be a top receiver in this league if he had gone to a real NFL team, but he went to the Browns. So he's going to make some noise and some splashes. It sucks for him that he got hurt. Again, the Browns are just trash we could talk about these running backs getting injured from other teams and maybe their last year playing.
I have that. You slow down and get your hand out of my food. Now, the crazy part is he said Sirius is being generous with the 2 wins. You think they're going 1-15 or 0-4?
They got to win one. I think 0-4 is reserved for the special mistalented. But 1-15, one game. I gotta believe that someone will slip up and they'll play their hearts out like it's a Super Bowl. They'll win one. 1-15, you know. Again, that's pretty much. 0-16 wouldn't surprise me though. I wouldn't be shocked, and I don't think anyone in the world would.
Yeah. Okay. And the reason, and no, this wasn't a dig at Matt at all. I have three different AFC North guys here, two of which are tied for first place. That's why I did this. I had to start at the bottom of the division because I have two NFC North guys on here, too. So I have to get the cookout rolling, Nacho. You know how it goes around here. So, okay, so.
I'll cut Nacho a deal.
Uh-oh.
If Cleveland has zero wins, I will take all my trash from Atlanta and move it to Cleveland and Lake Erie and burn it in the, near the lake and live there the rest of my life.
You won't do it. You won't do none of that.
You ain't about that life. You ain't about that life, sir.
I will do it if they do not win a game. They do not win a game. And also if Ohio State loses a game, because they're not going to lose this year. But you guys don't talk about that team, do you?
Wait,
they got that one guy. I heard he plays offense and defense. I don't know his name, but I heard he's incredible.
Peppers. That kid Peppers is a monster.
Yeah, that's right here.
Jabril.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, he's a monster. He's flipping. He's jumping over people. Like, look, they don't even have to go out his legs. He's jumping over dudes at 6 feet. Like, literally. Literally. Listen, Wolverines win that game. I'm saying it right now, September 21st. Book it. I don't care where they are. They could be in the shoe or they could be in the big house. Michigan wins that game.
Now, do you guys think the win for Ohio State at Oklahoma, do you think Oklahoma's overrated? Do you think big game Bob Stoops is on the way out, or do you think that was a legitimate win for Ohio State? Because Oklahoma already lost to Houston.
I don't believe Bob Stoops is on the way out. I think Bob Stoops is going to be like one of those coaches that lives his way out of Oklahoma. However, they were overrated to begin with. I'm going to say that right now. Baker Mayfield, I am not a believer. The way that he looked in the Houston game, the way that he looked against Ohio State, I don't believe it at all. I'm not buying him. They better get him comfortable. He thinks he can make throws off the run, kind of like how Johnny Manziel was. You know how Johnny Manziel was making those crazy throws. He's getting picked off. No, I'm not buying that. Stoops better corral him before it gets worse and his season looks bad and you end up being right. Yeah, Stoops coaches his way out of Oklahoma, but I don't think Stoops loses his job. Okay, that's interesting. I like it. I like that. The college football is here. Sports Center, they say they want to get a college football show. We may be in action because I already hear it, but I got to get people's feathers ruffled. Okay, so at the top of the AFC North stands the Steelers and the Ravens. However, we already had a dig at the Ravens right now. People didn't even hear Nacho throw that out there. That's right. I'm sorry, man. It's in the kitchen. I got to, man. Nacho already throwing punches in the kitchen. He said, how the heck are you a team and let the Browns get a 20-0 lead in the game? Okay. So, out of the gate, who's been more impressive with their 2-0 start? Are you impressed more with the Steelers doing their work? And the question that a lot of people had about the back end of their defense, or the Ravens making it happen where we thought that they were missing pieces on offense and they're getting it done, or is it more or less the teams that both of them played out of the gate? I will start with you, Matt, and I'll go to Nacho next.
You know, I hate to do this. With everything I believe in and everything I've been taught, I hate to do this, but Pittsburgh Steelers are for real. And they got a scary offense. They still got to pound you in the mouth defense. And I think they're gonna beat Baltimore probably both times this year is my prediction.
Whoa, okay. And this is a Cleveland Brown fan giving props to Pittsburgh. Okay, fair enough.
They got D'Angelo and they got those wide receivers. They're scary. Big Ben is on. He's always been a good quarterback. I don't see how Pittsburgh doesn't get at least 12 wins.
Okay. But I got to do this. I haven't done this in so long. So you can't keep pumping Sirius up on here. You can't do this. You can't keep doing this. You can't. Okay. Nacho, your thoughts are on what?
Oh,
Nacho, your thoughts on what's going down in the AFC North? It is pretty interesting. And crazy enough, Cincinnati is looking suspect, baby. I think with all of the departures they had in that offense, it's really showing right now. But your thoughts at both of these teams at 2-0?
You know, again, the same thing with the Heisman topic. We're week three coming up upon. We haven't even started it yet. Thursday night game hasn't even kicked off. So, you know, little reservation on these comments. But right now you've got the Ravens sitting atop the division the way that I'm sure the way they've got it broken down with the tiebreakers, who have faced the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns. Conversely, the Steelers have faced the – sorry, give me one second here. The Redskins and the Bengals. The only team out of those four that these two have faced that was any semblance of, you know, could be a contender would be the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, what you said at the beginning of this, what they've lost on offense, they look like a shell of themselves. They don't look like the Cincinnati Bengals we saw, at least in the regular season, dominate teams. Get good wins against good quality teams. This isn't the Cincinnati Bengals we saw. So they might be staring down the barrel of a 9-7, 10-6 at best season if they keep playing the way they're playing. As it pertains to the Ravens to me have played two teams that just aren't good. The Buffalo Bills are not that great. And I was confused with Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. That's who have fired their offensive coordinator. That's who has as no offensive identity, in my opinion, for what they're doing over there. They got no idea what to do with McCoy, what to do with Watkins. I believe Tyrod Taylor has a little injury going on. So these guys, you know, I don't see that the Ravens have played two quality teams. And again, how you let the Browns get 20 points up on you, is beyond me. I don't understand it. They are a team that you should be running roughshod from the beginning of the game. So that kind of scares me a little. You let a good team like Pittsburgh, you let a good team like New England, you let a good team like even Cincinnati get 20 points up on you. There's no way you're scoring 23 unanswered and winning that game. It's just not going to happen. So the Ravens got to pick it up, in my opinion. They got to play four full quarters, just don't show up in the second half. When it comes to the Steelers, man, I got to ride the Matt train and say, I hate to say it, you know, these guys are good. Big Ben is out there lighting it up. You got Antonio Brown, who had a mediocre game last game. I believe it was only about four or five catches, 36, 37 yards, 38 yards, 34 yards. Didn't get a lot, but was on the field. So when you get guys like Le'Veon Bell, when you get guys like Marcus Sweeten, when you get guys like, I believe, Bryant back, you're going to have a fully loaded offense that, to me, can put up 35 points on almost any defense in the league. That's including Denver. That's including Seattle. That's including Carolina. This offense is scary. When you've got a two-headed running back monster with Williams and then Le'Veon Bell coming back, and the thing about these guys coming back is, all but one, I think Wheaton's the only one who's coming back off of injury. Everyone else is just coming off of suspension. So the rhythming and time and coming back from an injury and having to weather that first week or two, I don't think you're going to see it, especially with the way that these guys in Pittsburgh have been clicking the first 2 weeks. Again, the teams that they've played, Cincinnati is a shell of themselves, and Washington is Washington. But they handled business and they took care of it. Same with the Ravens, you know, they're doing the things that they need to win. But when you play those tough teams in the top 10 of the league, you can't let big leads brawl up on you. You can't take teams lightly. And again, with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at the end there with this week, that's that rivalry game. I didn't expect them to go out there and put up tons of points, but the way they won, the way they got through. Pittsburgh is looking like they're going to be the runaway favorite for this division. The Ravens can get it together for full quarters against good teams. They might bring some noise, but right now it's the Steelers with the Ravens slightly behind them. And then Cincinnati, again, if they don't get it together, they can be an 8-8 team in the regular season, which is something that I don't see them doing a lot. Again, this regular season purely, they know how to handle their business. in those 16 games. Lately, it doesn't look like they can. So AFC North is right now in the firm grasp of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, barring some astronomical injury to Big Ben, these guys are looking like the offense is going to keep rolling when they get those weapons back. So, to me,
you're pumping these guys up too much. Not serious. Like not serious. Do you know how much serious comes for me in a week? Do you understand how much this dude comes for me in a week? I cannot deal with people giving him too much credit. You know what? You know what? I can't. This is too much. Like I feel like a migraine, like on the left side of my head, like for real. Okay, Tommy, I know you can turn it off. It's not funny. Tommy, turn this around, man. Do something, man. Don't let them sit there and give the whole division to Pittsburgh, man. These dudes just put this team together. They missing a receiver. Martavis is out for the season, and they're already giving them the division.
I'll say it again when we did the predictions. From Pittsburgh tied for this division. I still believe it. Our defense has showed up. This division is going to, and it's only a pitch. Cincinnati is still a threat. I still believe that. It's still early. Anything can still happen. I do think Baltimore, Pittsburgh tied for it. All come down to tiebreakers. But it all could come down to injuries. If there's a major injury, it's still too early for me to say anything. Technically, I'll say it. Baltimore lost Sunday because Cleveland had the ball, I think, late in the fourth quarter with like 14, 15 seconds, catches a pass, rolls out of bounds, tosses the official the ball that actually hit one of our DBs in the head. He did not mean to throw the ball at Pryor did not mean to throw the ball. The official took it as that threw a flag for a 15 penalty. So they took Cleveland out of the field goal range. Thank you for the bonehead play that the official did because we should have lost. Now, Nacho wants to talk about my Ravens and blah, blah, blah. At least our quarterback's not a prima donna crybaby bitch when he gets hit like that cheesehead up north.
Boom!
Because that little bitch gets hit and he bitches and whines like Brady. So shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm. Can't talk about field stuff, so take it off the field. Got it.
He wants to cry when he gets hit on a football field. If you don't want to get hit, go play some flag football.
Okay.
Flag.
When you start talking about field
my
stuff,
quarterback tore his ACL and actually finished the game. They walked off the field and didn't find out until after the game when they checked it that he had an MRI. They had to tore ACL. I bet you he wouldn't have done that.
Don't pump him up too much. We play him Sunday. Don't pump him up.
No, you good. He's a baby back bitch that can't play injured. You good, brother.
I'm not going to say that. Pittsburgh's a good ball club. I think we split this year. I don't think we split. I don't think we spin like we did last year. I think we split. I can't remember. I'm sure Sirius knows. The Christmas Day game, is that in Baltimore or is that one in Pittsburgh?
To Baltimore. Chinatown.
That's in Baltimore.
See, I think Baltimore will win the second game, the game in Baltimore for Christmas. I think we win the home.
No, sorry about
that's
that.
How
Christmas is in
you're looking
Pittsburgh.
For a Merry Christmas.
Christmas is in Pittsburgh. November 6th is in Baltimore.
Yep, you're right. It is in Pittsburgh. I stand corrected.
So another loss for the Ravens. We good.
We'll split. I think we split. I actually think it comes down to tiebreakers, who actually gets the division, personally. That's my opinion.
Okay, moving right along. Let's go to the next topic. What are you laughing for?
You can't laugh. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love myself.
You can't
love your boy.
You can't laugh. Well, stop laughing. All right. So how do you see the AFC North panning out? Hurry up.
You know, honestly, man, I don't know if I keep this short and sweet, but, you know, real talk. I do like what we're doing so much offensively, but defensively, man. We're stopping the run. We're getting up and challenging the pass. You know, we held A.J. Green, albeit, you know, the elements probably played a factor into, you know, the game that we played Sunday. But holding A.J. Green to two catches for 38 yards was big. But, again, you know, I mean, this is a black and blue division, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I do expect us to win it. I expect us to win it, you know, before, you know, the preseason. I expect us to win it, you know, even so now, you know, with Le'Veon getting ready to come back, Wheaton coming back, with Darius Green coming back to us. You know, I do think we're poised to make this, to run away with it. I don't even think it'd be close. I really don't. You know, Cleveland is, you know, a peewee football team. And Baltimore has significant secondary issues, and they can't run the football. You know, so if you can't run the football, you're putting, you know, Flacco into must passing situations, and, you know, he's coming off an ACL situation, one hit, and, you know, it's a wrap for the dude. Not wishing injury on no man, but, you know, let's call a spade, you know what I'm saying? So one of the things that I did end up peeking at a little bit, you know, on Sunday was that Baltimore is in secondary. Again, if you're getting double moved and getting out jumped and out manned for passes, you know, from Josh McCown by, again, no name wide receivers, what in the world do you think is going to happen when you see Antonio Brown? What in the world do you think is going to happen when you see an A.J. Green? What in the world do you think is going to happen when you see a quarterback who, you know, has done the damn thistle for quite some time? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo the Ravens. I'm not going to poo-poo the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, again, Cleveland is I'm going to leave them alone. But I definitely expect us to run away and win this division either way.
All right, man. I don't even know what to say, man. I want to talk, John, but I'm not going to lie. I do like Big Ben, and I do think what makes Pittsburgh scary is they're doing this work. And Le'Veon is not back yet, and D'Angelo is running like he's back in Carolina. That's the worst part about it. D'Angelo's comfortable, so I can just imagine what Le'Veon is waiting for. Now, Sports City, I cannot wait to get to this topic because I feel some type of way. We got a little over 15 minutes left in the building. Now, and I feel like I may jinx myself. I'm going to knock on wood and everything. I'm going to try and keep karma away from me, please. Just let me talk my stuff, please, karma. I mean, I am starting trouble, but I ain't trying to, like I feel it. But you know what I'm saying? Now, me and Mr. Simmons sat, you know, in our respective areas of the country, going back and forth with certain individuals across the country or whatever, and I threw out a status and said, I'm not even going to go into the full status. I'm going to just say two words, and you guys insert how you feel about it. Jay Cutler. Now, I don't know how the hell or what people need to do to make $100 million in this world, but it is possible. I don't want people to sit up here and say it is impossible. It is possible. You want to know how it's possible? You want to know how? You want to know how? You go get your resume and go to Soldier Field and give the exact same resume. They will give you $100 million. I don't care what you do. You could be a carpenter. You could cook hot dogs. You could do whatever you need to do. They will give you $100 million. I do not know how the Bears gave this dude $100 million, and he consistently, I don't know if I can say he doesn't care. I got to say he cares. Like, I can't really say he doesn't care. It just, to me, it looks like he don't care. But it's like, he ain't punch a water bucket. He ain't spike his helmet. He ain't go get in somebody's face like, you're not doing your job. He accepts it. Like, at home, on a Monday night in front of Philadelphia where you got a rookie coming in and smash y'all out? Like, okay, let me give Carson Wentz some credit. Let me give Carson Wentz some credit because I was one of the people that sat up here and said, I don't think Philadelphia has what it takes to win the NFC East. He told me to shut up. He told me to shut up. The boy is balling, okay, with no name receivers. So you mean to tell me you have more on your side of the ball, Jay Cutler, and I don't know how in-depth the injury is for him to, you know, walk back in the locker room and get away from the game, but I'm just not buying it year after year after year. You mean to tell me that this is a guy that's out for 100 mil, he's been to an NFC Championship game by me. I still have a problem with that NFC Championship game because this is a guy that sat out the biggest game of his career. That's the biggest game of his career. So he could have got to the Super Bowl. That's the biggest game of your career. You sit up. I don't care. Just like Tommy said, Joe Flacco played the rest of the game on a torn ACL. No excuse. You're getting paid, bro. You're getting paid. I don't get it. Okay. So like I said, two words. Jay Cutler, he is on the grill to be sizzled. I want to see how you guys feel about it. There have been certain networks that said that the Bears, there's certain networks that said the Bears need to cut him now. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think. Right. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think. Even though I think Hoyer is the better quarterback between the two. Oh yeah, I do.
Let me ask you a question. Make a case for him to stay there. I mean, let's keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? What has this man done for your franchise since day one? You acquired him from the Denver Broncos, and this dude hasn't done a damn thing since.
No, he's been to an NFC Championship game. Give him that. That's what he can see all year.
That was more because of their defense, not because of what Jay Cutler was doing.
Yeah.
This dude does not effing care about nothing.
He looks like he's hung over about every time he shows up. Looks like he just came from the bar last night. The guy
take this to heart. That defense for that Bears in the NFC Championship game held the eventual Super Bowl champion to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl 45. They held them to 10 points.
Wow. Wow, you know what? Kick rocks, dog. You know what? Yo, Tommy. Yo, that's Aaron Rodgers. That old fuck bastard.
But seriously, that defense was good enough. It held Seattle to minimal points the week before in the divisional round. It held, you know, Aaron Rodgers and that team to 10 points. If Jay Cutler would have got off the bike and at least tried to do something, who knows if he would have been able to score another touchdown or if that defense would have got him in great field position to where they had to tie the game, and who knows what happens in overtime. But, talking about this, 100%, honestly, I hope the Bears keep him for the next 5 to 10 years. As a Green Bay Packers fan, I would love nothing more than to see Jay Cutler run on that field every week for the Chicago Bears. As an NFL fan, it's a disgrace to the position. It's a disgrace to most NFL players. To have Jay Cutler on that field week in and week out, making the money he's making for doing absolutely nothing, for sitting on the bench when in the most important games of your life, when your team needs you the most, your helmet's off, your shoulders are slumped, you're looking like you're the saddest man on earth, and you still got a chance to win the game. There's nothing about Jay Cutler that says anything good the at all. It's bad move after bad move, whether it's interception, whether it's getting sacked, fumbled, whether it's not finishing out a game, whether it's not having the mental capacity to figure out what the defense is in and make a simple audible from a run to a pass, which we've seen multiple times. It's just so bad, the amount of money they threw at him, and it's just ridiculous. I'm appalled to watch this guy play quarterback for the NFL. But as a Packer fan, I'm extremely happy, and I hope he stays there for the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. I feel just like you do, Nacho. Like, I'm not going to lie, Nacho's a diehard Packer fan. I'm a diehard Lion fan. We're all in the NFC North. I would love to see the Bears struggle. As you know, one of the hosts here, till he gets stuff right, Mosley, you know what I'm saying? He's a Bear fan or whatever. Like, of course, the fan in me would love to see the Bears struggle, but the football guy in me, it's like, That's like me going to like a high school football game and just watching one of these teams struggle. It's like, who is the coach? Who is responsible for watching this offense be subpar? You mean to tell me that you got Alshon Jeffrey, Kevin White in that offense with Zach Miller, and you guys only put a 14 at home against Philadelphia secondary? Really? Really? Philadelphia secondary? This is the secondary that let Calvin go off for 4 touchdowns on Thanksgiving. They couldn't do nothing with him. So you got monster after monster after monster in your receiving core and can't do crap? Y'all can't do nothing? And y'all told y'all said, you know what? We're going to tell Brandon Marshall go pack his bags. You know what, Matt Forte, you get injured, you go pack your bags. Martellus Bennett, you know what? You talk a lot of junk, you go pack your bags, and you still stick with this dude? Like, really?
Ty, there was a point when this man, Jay Cutler, had Jeremy Langford, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett. Tell me which quarterback in the league couldn't win 10 to 12 games, take them to the playoffs, and win at least 2 playoff games with that offensive, with those offensive weapons. And he was steadily winning 7 games, 6 games, getting bounced, not even doing anything. It's ridiculous.
Yawning and eating grits for breakfast. Ain't nobody trying to play football eating grits. They don't eat grits for breakfast and still go out there and win 10 games. I was actually like concerned about the man this season. I'm like, you know what? They're healthy. I'm tired of seeing them struggle within the division. I'm like, yo, they'll get it. Like something has to click. Kevin White being a rookie, you know, having to try and prove himself, and they still do not look nothing like they are ready. They went to Houston and got beat up. They came home and got beat up. Like, this week they go to Dallas. If he gets it done in Dallas, then okay, then you put a win under your belt. But I think you go to Dallas and get beat up hey, maybe I'm wrong. Matt, do you see different? Like your thoughts on Jay Cutler?
I was randomly Googling him while everybody was bashing him, and it's a rightful bash, believe me. And I saw that Tyrann Mathieu of the Cardinals tweeted, "Ha ha ha, man, y'all paying him $20+ million. Where is the growth?" I think that's actually pretty accurate. He has no growth. He's basically, if he was in Madden, his overall rating would go down pretty much by a game-by-game basis. That's how bad smoking Jay Cutler is. He's more worried about what bar he was at last night and how many cigarettes he can smoke on the sideline.
And he still smokes cigarettes. And he still smokes. Oh, my God.
And he still does that nasty habit. Now, I know some of y'all smoke. I'm sure Siri smokes. But that's all right.
Nah, I don't.
Okay.
You don't smoke cigarettes?
Nah, I don't.
Oh, okay. You just had one of those. You know, sometimes you assume on someone's voice. But smoking, Jay, you need to get cut. If it was a minor league of football, you would be there.
Okay, Tommy, I know you may feel a certain way about Jay Cutler. Your thoughts on this guy, I mean, does he turn this around? Like I'm trying to be faithful for him, and I shouldn't. I know, in my heart, I know I shouldn't. But the football guy in me, it's like, come on, like, let's be fair. Like, it's starting to look like people are just chalking up wins against him.
Hey, move on, please. I'm tired of talking about this bum. I've said it for the last year and a half. I'm not speaking any more about him. The only thing good about him, the only thing good about him is his wife. Otherwise, on.
And you know what? Like, and she's bad. I don't know how he picked that one up, but I think $100 million will do that for you. $100 million to get any chick to act stupid. Call the number 917-889-9592. I don't get it, Jay Cutler. Now, watch me talking to her about Jay Cutler. Watch me have a field day against mine. Watch something crazy happen to me because I'm talking about dude. Watch. But everybody else having a field day. The Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles with a rookie quarterback outside them at home on a Monday night. Everybody watching you. Stop.
I got a question for you, Ty.
Yes, sir.
I'm not coming at you. I just, I did not have to message you. So, Monday, but how did you feel having a hurricane beat you?
That passing catch was so crazy. Look. First off, I thought it was Delaney Walker. Then they said Andre Outlaw, and I damn near cried because I was like, everybody talking about Drake career over, and he caught it in a double team. Mariota put it on top of Tahir's head. I was like, man, who else could beat us like this? And, you know, we still had a shot. And here goes Stafford throwing a pick in the flat and didn't even look the dude off. He threw it to the dude that he trumped. I don't know if people seen that highlight. I could post it. The dude that picked him off was a dude Matt Stafford trumped like Christian Okoye back in the day. Matt Stafford literally went head up with this dude and put him on his back. I'm talking about bad. I'm talking about bad. I never seen a quarterback truck a defender in the NFL in my life. Like maybe a Dante Culpepper. I doubt if Culpepper ever did that. But he trucked him so bad. And this dude is the one that saved the game with Tennessee. I was, like, so hot. But it was, like, to see Andre do that, it's like, okay, so hopefully they could build a connection from here on in. But it's like you got to get started in Detroit, really, like, you got to. We should have won the game, but Stafford, you got to get it figured out, especially walking into Lambeau Field this Sunday. But I need picks because I do have to shut it down. I'm actually getting quoted from the chat room and getting messages right now to extend the show. We cooking, but I have to run. But I need picks for the game tomorrow because I don't want to run a show into the game. Unless y'all do. Unless y'all send me a text if we should run a show into the game tomorrow. If you guys think either Brissett, there are words that they said Edelman may start at quarterback. I don't think that would be smart. I think Edelman is better out in the field making plays. But if Edelman starts at quarterback, put it this way. Whoever the freak they put behind center and wins the game for the Patriots, Bill Belichick is the best coach, and Tom Brady, I don't know. This may be a whole other discussion if different quarterbacks get it done up against these defenses. Look at the defenses they're beating. The Cardinals defense in the front four, at least in the Dolphins. I mean, at least their defense. I'm not saying their offense, but they did make it a game. They did make it a game because I still don't respect Tannehill at all. I don't. But look at the defense these dudes are beating. Okay, I need picks for this game. Who do you guys like and why? Patriots, Texans. Matt, I'll start with you, and I need a closeout.
Well, guys, it was enjoyable to hear everybody. It's good to be back talking football. The season is starting to roll along. There's some good discussions tonight. We should keep it going. I'm going to pick the Patriots, and my reason,
boy.
you give the hoodie as a home dog. I will take the Patriots in this situation every time. Third string quarterback, question mark. The hoodie can bring in a homeless man into the quarterback, and the Patriots will still win. So until Belichick retires, it will be, when Belichick does retire, it will be the downfall of the Pats. But until then, I'll go with New England as my pick.
Wow, already New England out the gate. Nacho, who do you like in this game and why in a closeout? Mr. Silva, are you still with us? Going once, going twice, Mr. Silva. All right. But no, all right. Sirius, your thoughts on this game? Who do you like and why in a closeout?
You know, man, the Patriots. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they have at quarterback. It doesn't matter who's catching the football. It doesn't matter who's running the football, you know, who's working the camera. You know, filming stuff, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, these bastards just find ways to win. and it annoys the hell out of me. It really does. So, again, I think them to win. As a shout-out, man, I normally I don't do this, but, you know, Tamika Catching's one of my favorite players to ever play the women's game. Walked off the floor in Indiana for the final time, you know, so shout out to Tanisha Ketchin. You know, she's retiring from the game that she loves. And again, one more thing before I keep going. Shame on you, Ray Lewis. Shame on you, Ray Lewis. I'm going to leave it at that. It's your boy, Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be with you all again. You know, next time, you know, we have a show, hopefully I'll be able to pop on with you guys, maybe talk some more football, some more basketball. But again, you know, shout out to Tamika Catchings, one of my favorite basketball players. And again, shame on you, Mr. Ray Lewis.
Do you know what school she went to?
Tamika Catchings went to the University of Tennessee.
Okay. Hey, what did Ray Lewis do?
I know Ray Lewis said something today.
What did he say?
I'm going to leave the Ray Lewis thing alone.
I'll make a cookout tomorrow. And we'll talk off air. Fair enough. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, and who do you like in the game and why tomorrow?
I doubt I watch this. I'll watch the ACC game. I'll watch Clemson and Matt's second team that I hope Matt shows around after October 1st. We know why, Ty. We know what happens October 1st. I'll leave that alone. I want to get a sneak peek on that. Tomorrow night I'll check in. I'll go with Houston just because everybody's going New England. I'll go against the field. New England just didn't look the same after when they bring Brissett in. Miami came back, made that a game. I'll go Houston. Good show, Ty. I'm hoping we can get Matt in and me and you and whoever else want to come in do a Saturday college football show. I think it'll be good. And Ty may know what I'm talking about when I say this. If not, I'll fill everybody in. When you invite somebody to your house, do not talk shit about them because they could come in your house and backslap you and beat the shit out of you. I won't mention a whole lot of names. Oh, wait a minute. I'll go ahead and do it. Appalachian State. You want to run the mouth and run the shit on Twitter about how you weren't worried about Miami. You ate this. We ate this. You this, that, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? You can talk behind a damn keyboard. Because when you talk about the hurricane, yeah, we brought in a hurricane up in that hick town where you all drinking your own damn moonshine. We showed you what a hurricane can really do. Keep talking that shit up there in Boone, North Carolina, your little happy mountains. I'm keeping G-rated as much as possible, but keep sipping on that moonshine because it's really showing good.
I don't even know who to go for tomorrow. I'm going to say Texas. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go Houston, Texas, because I'm trying to reserve the right to say Brady is still the best quarterback I've ever seen. So I'm going to say Houston. If one of them dudes win it, whether they put Julian Edelman at quarterback or Brissett at quarterback and win that game, I'm going to have a special show to speak my doggone mind on what the heck Bill Belichick is doing to the NFL. I'm sorry. If the Patriots get it done, I could care less where they are. If they're in Gillette or if they're down there, I don't even think they call it Reliance Stadium no more. I think it's Energy Stadium or something like that. I don't care. Texans better win. If not, I got a bone to pick with the NFL. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I don't know if these dudes pumped me up enough to do another cookout because I got a whole bunch of topics that I didn't get to, but it was a great show. Great to be back in the building. I'm feeling some type of way. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
Hey, dude, what's up?